Hello and good day, everyone. Kevin Finkel here with another episode of Magic the First Pioneers podcast. This podcast is all about the pioneer format, and we keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. And joined here by my co-host.
Yeah, I'm the Tokyo Zombie, and I can't wait for my turn to speak. Yeah, my name's Ryan Schwenk, for everybody that's listening for the first time.
I'm a little bit more calm and relaxed, and it's a nice Friday evening after a long week for me. I know for you, it's a early Saturday morning after lots of grinding for Historic
Quest. Yeah, I tried to get to the ranked Mythic for the Mythic Challenger. I got the 99% at one point, and then I ended up finishing at like 91%. Like I was complaining to you earlier, just I hate Reclamation decks. I was playing my Waste Not deck, which is actually pretty good removal. It has great removal for, like, you know, goblins and all those other decks, but I saw nothing but Reclamation deck after Reclamation deck after Reclamation deck, and even with, like, 16 to 20 different discard effects, they were just like, all right, draw 20 from Reclamation.
At least you've got a nice platform to play a whole ton of Historic on. Exactly. You know, I'm really missing Paper Magic right now.
Yeah.
We're kind of down on that at the moment, so... But we still want to talk about what's going on, you know, still watching, paying attention, talking about anything I can for Pioneer, so keeping myself up to date with what's going on competitively, and that's what we want to talk a little bit about today. You know, we haven't done a bit of a competitive episode, we had an unbanning, there's been a little bit of meta shift, not a lot, and that's really what we want to discuss on today's episode, and really, see what's going on. You know, if there was something like that where people are pushing to get in a lot of people were talking about Historic this last week as they're pushing to get into this event. End of the season. If we had something similar for Pioneer, you know, what would you be playing right now?
I'm actually going to try to do some casual leagues, but I'm interested in trying out Burn. I was going to ask you actually the other day, like, are there any decks that actually have like main board life gain? I know there's Calatis, maybe a Mono Black, and maybe
I mean, Mono Black has a few. The new Mono Black Vampire versions tend to have some, but, you know, that's not big. Yeah, Heliod combo, obviously, is main deck life gain.
Yeah. If they're gaining life with Heliod, they pretty much won already.
So, Uro decks. So, Sultai Delirium, that's definitely gaining some life.
Yeah, but that's a little bit. That's not consistent life gain, I would say. If you attack, but like what I'm thinking of, like I know that a lot of people are playing Inverter, and I know a lot of people are playing Lotus Breach, and a lot of these other decks, people are shocking in, they're thought seizing, and they're doing a lot of damage to themselves, and I feel like with the right build of some kind of Burn deck, that, you know, maybe it could be successful, you know, in this format. So that's what I would be trying to play in this season if I was playing more Paper Magic. But what about you?
You know, I think that's reasonable. I mean, I just want to quick discuss Burn a little bit more because I do think it's one of those, you know, it's top 8, definitely top 10 decks right now in the format. Now, what's awkward there is that those mono-red decks also do quite a bit of damage to themselves right now. You know, it really adds up when you're playing Eidolon and playing everything that costs less than 3. So that's, you know, usually the red-white version. The mono-red version can go a little bit bigger, at least play Torbran, which gets out of that range. And they usually wouldn't play Eidolon with Torbran main deck, I don't think. I should probably look more at those, but I think the red-white version has become more popular.
But is that really Burn, or is that just kind of like aggro with some Burn?
Yeah, I think both of those are more aggro than Burn. I liked Burn when Obosh was not nerfed.
Oh, when you could just play him and do the 3 damage,
three damage.
Then you lose out like all your lightning strikes and stuff like that. So
lose lightning strike, but you can replace it with, you know, Wizard's Lightning or any of those. You know, the Light of the Stage.
Yeah. Yeah, still not totally sold on.
Or Skewer the Critics. That's the one. I'm
thinking Skewer the Critics has been really, really good. Like. I mean, like, as far as, like, I've been, like I said, I was playing it in Historic. I think I was talking about that the other week and, you know, going, you know, like, a pinging somebody into, like, a, you know, I mean, you could even use a shock into a Skewer the Critics and then have, like, a turn 3 incinerator on the battlefield. So you can do some pretty good stuff with, because of Skewer the Critics.
Okay, that's fairly exciting. And that's, you know, a new card, which unfortunately we're not going to talk about too many today, yeah. I think. You know, M21 Impact. And that's the other part of what we really want to do is, you know, discuss where M21 has hit the format, what it's done, because that and the unbanning are the real only changes from the end of last season.
Yeah, do you want to talk about that first? Do you want to jump into the Oath of Nyssa update and, like, what's been happening with that card?
Yes, you know, we told you guys, like, hey, you know, green Planeswalkers feel like that should be a deck that comes back. Mm-hmm. We told you Kethis combo, definitely a deck that's going to pick up quite a bit. What else did we tell you that was going to change? You know, we said Jund is something worth trying. I don't feel like it's done great. You know, I know I've seen deck lists. Mm-hmm. I don't think that it's been, you know, showing up regularly.
I think I talked about Soultide Delirium. I thought that that would be just another tool that it could use to fill up their graveyard.
Hmm.
And I have seen that actually, you know, checking out some of the lists that they have on MTG Goldfish, it seems like, you know, people are playing Oath of Nyssa and Soultide Delirium as well.
Yeah, more versions I've seen don't have it, but I do think I have seen a version that has.
I think we also talked about Niv-Mizzet, 5-color. I mean, I think I was talking about the lands from M21, though, about how I saw that those seeing play, but Oath of Nyssa has actually helped that deck out as well.
Were there lands in M21?
Or is it M21? No, it doesn't jumpstart, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry about that. No, but yeah, I think I did talk about Niv-Mizzet, though, about how, you know, this helps with, like, finding colors. But I'm not totally sure. I'm confused.
Yeah, helps find colors a little bit. Helps them play, you know, full-on Teferi without being as hard in blue and white. Full-on, you know, I think they go more on Nahiri now is one that I've seen a lot.
Yeah. To search up for your Niv-Mizzet and stuff like that. And it's cool. Mm-hmm. You know, it's nice to see, you know, Niv-Mizzet putting up the numbers and getting results again. So you said Kethis combo, right?
Yes, definitely.
And then Niv-Mizzet, and then we got Monogreen Planeswalkers and Soultide Delirium. Anything else?
As far as top decks or as far as decks that have changed?
Well, decks that have kind of benefited from Oath of Nyssa.
Yeah, I think really just those. You know, we pretty much called it that those are the decks. You know, I said I would try something greedy with a ton of Planeswalkers. I've had a lot of fun with that. I don't think it's something you want to play.
So would you say that Oath of Nyssa is too strong, you know, from these, you know, looking at these first few results from tournaments over the last few weeks?
You know, I haven't felt that way. And I think one thing, when we were talking about what got it banned, we were talking about the, you know, 4+ color Planeswalker decks are kind of the biggest grievance that it had. Like, that's really is that, like, no other decks in Pioneer can really play 4 colors most of the time, unless you're really kind of built around a specific interaction like what Niv-Mizzet is. But having access to so many Planeswalkers is really what got Oath banned, and there isn't that kind of deck right now, so that's not the problem.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at these other, you know, results, and it still seems the same as ever with just, like, you know, 2 or 3 Oath decks kind of sprinkled in there.
You know, okay, let's go towards the kind of the top of the meta here is, I would say right now the most popular deck, highest meta share deck, Mono Black Aggro.
Yeah.
So people are going to say, hey, does this mean that the format has corrected itself? Is Dimir Inverter no longer a problem? What do you think?
I mean, this has definitely gotten better, I think, mostly because of, you know, the companion change. Then people started playing it again after Lurrus was nerfed. It's able to kind of grind out more advantage. And, I mean, of course, it's really good against combo because you got turn one Thoughtseize while also putting a clock on your opponent.
Yeah, and that's what beats a lot of the combo decks of the format.
I mean, the other aggro decks really don't have that kind of, how can I say, line of play.
Yeah, Burn's decent at it if it can play, like, you know, some of its cards like Eidolon, but even that isn't great against Inverter specifically, not the best against Mono White Devotion.
Was there any changes in these Mono Black decks, you know, from...
So they did, that's one of the few decks that did get a little bit of an addition, is most of them are playing usually 1 to 2 copies of Demonic Embrace.
Okay, the +3, +1?
Yeah, +3/+1 flying and is a demon, and you can cast it from the graveyard for 3 life and discarding a card.
Yeah, I haven't seen that show up in any of these lists yet, but... yeah, see, like...
So just a nice little way to give them reach, have some recurrence on there, you know, kind of acts...
Well, some evasion as well, right?
For an aggro deck.
Yeah, I like that idea, and especially if you, you know, worst case scenario, you put it on a Mutavault. It falls off at the end.
Yeah, that's pretty low on my... they usually have something like a Bloodsoaked Champion or a Scrappy Scrounger around. Yeah. And I do think that flyers are in a very strong place. You know, that's what makes, I think, this deck so strong is the fact that it goes to the air with Rankle and Spawn of Mayhem. You can't just get dummies on the ground and block them. You know, an Uro doesn't do the best job of walling them. And being able to add Demonic Embrace kind of adds to that, is that you turn one of your... dinky little threats into something that's going to chunk in the air.
I'm kind of surprised that people are playing Rankle and stuff now in some of these decks.
Well, what's surprising about that?
Well, I mean, it's 4 mana. I mean, it's good value, I think. You know, the discard or the draw or the sacrifice, you know, if they only have like one creature in play. But it just seems underpowered at 3, I guess. At 4 mana, it doesn't seem as, you know, like of an aggro-y card or a beatdown card that I'm used to seeing.
I mean, it's haste. It can swing for 4 the turn it comes down. Like, that's a lot of damage.
True, if you're making the draw card.
Yeah.
Speaking of flyers, it seems like spirits have made a comeback. So
Back and forth. You know, I expected them to have jumped back a little bit more. So they're one that actually did get something from M21 with Lofty Denial. That's the 2-mana counter spell that costs.
Yeah.
It's 4 spike for 2, unless if you have a flyer, in which case it's true Mana Leak.
Yeah.
Or no, it's 4. It's pay 4, so it's better than Mana Leak.
Yeah, it's better than Mana Leak for flyers, basically. But yeah, surprisingly enough, they're not playing any of those new spirits that I thought they'd play.
And I think we discussed... I think they usually see Shacklegeist, which is the 2-2, and I think we kind of said that was probably the better of them.
So Shacklegeist was the tap one? Or the draw one?
It's the one you can tap 2 spirits you control to tap a creature an opponent controls.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the other one's not a flyer, which I think just makes it a little bit too awkward in the current builds, which depend on Empyrean Eagle.
I'm trying to think what other decks have really shown up in this metagame. In Japan, you know, I was taking a look at some data from Hallelujah. They're pretty much the go-to place for at least paper tournaments in Japan.
Okay.
And they are still preparing for like their God of Pioneer events. I don't think a lot of people are going to show up anytime soon because Tokyo just had like 436 people infected last day, so like they're spiking. But you know, for the brave souls that do decide to go, you know, there is some data that you can find. Combo is super popular in Japan right now, in Tokyo at least. A lot of people are playing like Lotus combo, or they're playing Kethis combo, or they're playing Inverter.
Yeah, of course.
So pretty much what you'd expect, I guess, except that it's much heavier with the combo than it is like instead of like White Devotion or Soul Tide Delirium or any of those control decks, it's combo, and like anything with disruption. So like spirits have done all right.
So speaking of control, you know, that's one that has dropped off quite a bit, and that surprises me just a little bit. You know, people were kind of talking about it as a worrying deck, even. You know, I think I was almost in that camp where I was like, you know, hey, if we only ban Inverter and nothing else, our control deck's just going to take over without all this combo in the format. And I guess it's probably, you know, it's all the combo. It's the fact that Mono Black Aggro is built to beat slower decks specifically. It's kind of built to go for the long game with many of its cards. Is that all that's keeping it down, you think?
Which one? The
like Azorius control, Esper control, Bant control, all the blue-white controls.
Yeah, I mean, I think Teferi is the number one thing. That just, they can't interact. If anybody gets down at Teferi, you know,
playing Teferi.
Yeah, I know, but I'm also saying that, like, having that mirror match and not being able to use any of your counter spells is really bad. And I think that's, like, the main the main reason for playing control is the counter spells, right? Like, yeah. If you really want to deal damage to these combo decks, we need to actually have good control decks. Decks that can actually interact with each other. Because, you know, if you're having these counterspell battles instead of the race to, you know, the combo, then I think that'll be a little bit more interesting. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, inverters are very hard to interact with, but I do think that counterspells specifically are quite good against it.
And the problem, yeah, I mean, and there could be control decks would play just a crap ton of, you know, counter spells and just a few win conditions, you know, like a Teferi or something like that, if those counter spells were effective. But there's going to be some matchups, like I said, where your opponent's playing Teferi, and it's like you can't draw any cards at the end of the turn. You can't, mm-hmm. you know, you can't counter anything. And I think that's a big problem. And that's what I know we're not talking about bans today, but I would like to see Teferi go just to bring control back into the into the meta.
I mean, for me, I'd rather see Inverter go and then let us see what that changes, because that's going to have broad impact.
Yeah, but then you still can't stop Lotus Breach, and you still can't stop, you know, the...
Well, you can throw some Damping Spheres in your sideboard and you're good to go. And Lotus Breach doesn't play Teferi. You can counterspell it, you know.
Or even, like, Heliod Devotion would be another one. You can't stop the combo, you know, if... Yeah, I mean, okay. Anyways, I sent you a spicy list. One thing that did come out of Japan recently was an Aetherworks Marvel deck.
Oh, you know I've been aching for a new one.
So this was from the top eight of, what is it up?
Are they playing my favorite card, though? That's the real question here. Ooh, Shark Typhoon, that's a little different.
Yeah, so this deck, actually it was the top eight of, win an Ugin event. It was like, win two Ugins or something. But it's got Emrakul, it's got Ulamog, it's got Kenrith, it's got, Jarel, the Monvuli Recluse, the one that draws you cards. Draws you a card and puts a cat into play.
Your second card, you put a cat into play.
Yeah. It's got Uro in there, it's got Golos, and it's also got Karn.
It's got Karn, it's got Teferi, so it's really going, Teferi, is it four Ugin. Colors here?
Yeah, I guess so.
Wait, hang on. I see green, blue, so they have no red, so they have no Harness Lightning, they have no Whirler Virtuoso, so those are big losses
to me. This is Bant, this is like Bant.
They're also missing. They don't have. So they're not really a Marvel deck. Almost.
It's like,
you know, they don't have the puzzle knots.
I kind of see what they're doing here, though. This kind of feels like it's a reclamation deck for Pioneer, but with Aetherworks.
See, I was gonna say it's more of a Bant control deck, Aetherworks. Yeah, you know, I mean, their high end is just. I guess they got one Ulamog, one Emrakul, but. You know, it's kind of like the Karn, Ugin, one Ugin, playing the Shark. Shark Typhoon's interesting. So Shark Typhoon's kind of cool is that it's a hit off of Marvel. If you flip up a Shark Typhoon, then, you know, you can play something like a Puzzle Knot the next turn and just be pumping out Sharks.
Yeah.
That's probably slow, though, if you're in one of those positions, which happens a lot with Marvel, where you play a Marvel even on turn, you know, four, you spin it, and you need to hit something that will make you win the game. Otherwise, you lose from that point. And, you know, a lot of time, if you hit Ugin, if you hit Emrakul, if you hit Ulamog, that's often enough to stop whatever your opponent has in their tracks and win the game. But with so few of those real hits, makes it a little bit awkward. I think there's some other things that I'm kind of like, on. You know, when I was trying out Marvel, Servant of the Conduit, especially as a 4-of, that's kind of awkward. That's a lot of that card. And it doesn't do a ton.
I mean, that's just, you need energy. You still, if you're playing Aetherworks, you still need to have the energy.
So play thing. Puzzle Knot there. That makes more sense.
Attune to Aether. Turn to Aether. Yeah, Conduit, maybe not. Yeah, because you can get double, right? No, it's only life gain. You get the energy when it comes into play.
With Servant of the Conduit, you get two energy. And
the Puzzle Knot, though.
Well, the Puzzle Knot, it's 3 and 3 life when it comes into play. And when you sacrifice it, it's 3 and 3
okay,
life.
Okay, yeah. I could see that being played. That'd be better, I think, in that spot then. Yeah, that was spicy. That was the only other thing that I really saw come out of Japan recently. Like I said, everything else has kind of just been combo. So
speaking of that, we've kind of walked around it, is my favorite deck. It's the Kethys combo.
Yeah, Kethys combo.
So, yeah, you guys have heard it if you've listened to the podcast before. This is something I've been playing before Oath was unbanned. I thought that it was a fun niche deck at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Now that it's got Oath of Nyssa, you know, just such gravy for that deck. It has been putting up results, and, you know, I've been playing it. I've been watching other people playing it, and when I watch other people playing it, I'm pulling out my non-existent hair because, like, this deck
wrong.
Is really hard to play. And, yeah, I'm like, oh, man, like, you could have won that turn. You could have killed them. Like, this deck is insane. And they're winning anyways. They're winning, you know, turn 6, and I'm like, they could have won turn 4 easy. I think this deck is going to be still a little bit of a sleeper. The difficulty of it means that it's going to go a little bit unnoticed, especially on Magic Online, where I think that you have to really know what you're doing to not have to spend forever to mill out the actual combo. But I think that this is going to be a deck that's going to have high win rates with players that know how to play.
Yeah, this is something that definitely rewards those higher skilled players.
I love it. Like, it's kind of the KCI of the format, which hopefully doesn't mean that it's too powerful and it's banworthy, but I don't think that it's really hard without this having major tournaments, people testing it heavily. If we had a players tour, a pro tour, or, you know, something equivalent to the old pro tours where a bunch of teams would get together and do a ton of testing, and we don't seem to have that as much right now. If they had something like that, I think that we would get a pretty definite answer on whether or not this is the best deck. I think it would either be, yes, this is the deck that people should be playing, or it would be, let's get rid of it completely. Let's find something else that's better.
So should I be playing, like, 3 Leyline of the Voids in my sideboard now?
That's not bad, but, you know, they've got Teferi. They'll bounce it.
Yeah, unless I have, like, 2 in my opening hand. Yeah, I mean, sure. if they're playing a Teferi, I mean, could they go off on turn 4? Maybe. I guess, but they wouldn't have anything in their graveyard until that point.
I mean,
right?
Yeah, they can win turn 3.
But even if I have a turn 0 Leyline?
Oh, no, not probably through a Leyline, but they have hands that win turn 3 if you were trying to play it on a turn 4, if that's what you were asking.
Yeah, but like that and Lotus Breach, I mean, those are really good cards to play against them anyways, so. Damping Sphere would also do.
Yeah, Damping Sphere does do a lot of, it does double duty there. I think that's a good one that people can continue to play. But yeah, again, they do have ways to get rid of it or win without it, which I've seen a few ways of.
I don't know if I wanted to wait till later in the show to talk about this, but would you say that Pioneer has become a combo-centric, format?
Yes, I think no doubt. I think that not even, you know, it didn't need the addition to Kethys to be a combo format. I would say we're, you know, maybe not 50% combo, but 30, 40%.
Because I've been talking to other people online about this, and, you know, some people are just like, you know, I hate it, and I think people also kind of hate combo. I think combo needs to exist, but I think tools to deal with combo need to exist as well. And I don't
Yeah, that's always been my line, is you should be able to hate the specific combo. Like, any deck should be able to put in hate cards. You know, if I have a 15-card sideboard just for the inverter matchup, what am I bringing in? I'm not bringing in anything that puts that deck out of commission.
Yeah, the inverter, there's nothing that you can really get rid of. I mean, other than inverter, that's if they don't counter it, right?
And especially for certain deck types. You know, like if like Chunky Red, like, I love that deck. It was, at a time, maybe the most powerful deck in Pioneer, and it is definitely not seeing any play right now, despite being, like, you know, Mono Black and Chunky Red were the two decks, but Mono Black lived on because it has Thoughtseize, and Chunky Red has not because it doesn't have red Thoughtseize.
Or any kind
there's,
of...
There's nothing...
Or any kind of, like, artifact that has, like, a similar type of effect.
Yeah, so, you know, if you had a Chunky Red deck and you wanted to say, okay, I'm going to put 15-card sideboard only for the inverter matchup, there's nothing you could put in your sideboard to make that matchup better. Like, and it would just be miserable.
And that's probably why, like I was talking about earlier about playing Burn, I wanted to play Burn. Burn just kind of suffers from not having enough tools in the sideboard. You can get creative. There's some cards that will work, you know, like you play Graft Digger's Cage or something to stop Lotus Breach. But yeah, otherwise you're just really missing out on cards like Torpor Orb, which I said we really needed in this format to stop those ETB effects and whatnot.
Yeah. Something.
So yeah, I would definitely like to see Control come back, like I said, just because I want to see Combo have to dedicate some of their cards to dealing with counter spells. Because right now they just play whatever they want. Anyways, you want to talk about power rankings next? We talked about a lot of the decks, right?
Sure, yeah, I think we can talk about power rankings.
I mean, if you go on, anybody can always go on MTG Goldfish and just kind of see, you know, what's been doing well. How would you, you know, I think we talked about this with Martin a few episodes back as far as what tier one, what we thought, what we predicted would be tier one, but how would you say the format is shaping up right now? What is our tier one deck?
So this is an awkward spot where the most played deck is Mono Black Aggro. I don't consider it to be a traditional tier 1 deck in that I don't think that against an open field of decks it has a overwhelmingly positive matchup. It definitely sees enough play to be like, you know, tier 1.5 maybe I'll call it, because it's going to be one of the decks you're going to see a lot. You know, if you play a league online, you're going to see it probably in that league, you know, out of 5 decks. Yeah, maybe if you play 2 leagues, you'll definitely see it. Maybe you'll see it twice, something mm-hmm. like that. You'll see it in top eights, etc. But I feel like it's in that spot because it has positive matchups against the best decks in the format, which I would say individually is Dimir Inverter.
Still tier one, yeah. Lotus Breach, tier still tier one.
I think Lotus Breach still tier one. You know, Mono White Devotion still sees a pretty large meta chunk. I think that's also one of those. It's like, hey, I want to play the combo decks, but I still want a slightly better matchup against something like Inverter.
Yeah.
So it's kind of one of those, like, I would almost put it a half step below. So I would almost 1. Say, like, Dimir Inverter, Lotus Breach.
Yeah.
And then, like, Mono Black Aggro, Mono White Devotion.
Would be, like, 1.5 then. Chunk.
And for me, probably Kethis there, too.
Okay. So that's all 1.5, tier 1.5. Not quite tier tier 2, right?
Yeah, not quite tier 2. And I almost want to put one more step before. You know, for me, like, tier 2 is a pretty obvious, like, oh, hey, you know, I'm playing the Heroic deck instead of playing, you know, Abzan that everyone else is. You know, something like where it's an obvious, like, this is not what's super meta.
It can win,
and
though.
I think that there are still... Yeah, and I think that there are still, you know, 5 or 6 other decks that are, you know, in that 4 to 5% meta share range.
So, like Orzhov Auras, I think, are still kind of tier 2. They still can... On a good day, they can win. It's just like...
Okay, like, so that's a big... Yeah, I mean, that's a big jump. So maybe, like, Red White Heroic.
Red White Heroic, yes. The Mono Black
Vampires. That would be a good
Spirits, tier 2. Definitely tier 2, but, like, a high tier 2. They're almost tier 1.5, I think. I don't know
if they're one of those... You'll see them, but they're not up there.
Sultai Delirium, I think, would also kind of probably be, like, a tier 2 right now. It's good, but I think, you know, really just the draws have to line up for it to beat Combo and stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, I've kind of got a few decks that are like the grindy decks of the format where they're not actually that good against Combo, but they're almost preying on the Mono Black and the other like burn decks that are beating the Combo decks. Mm-hmm. So like Niv-Tolite, Sultai Delirium, and the Blue-White X control decks, for me, I kind of lump together in that like more controlling group.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of that Niv-Miz, I think Niv-Miz it's probably back now at 2 with the Oath of Nissa. Would you agree?
Yeah, easily, handily, I would say.
I don't know what other decks are out there. The Planeswalker deck, the Mono Green. Would you say that's like
that's probably tier 2? You know, that's not a deck that I would expect to, you know, be like I have to prepare for Mono Green.
Yeah,
it's a deck.
It works. I think I actually saw some people playing Scales again.
Scales, Stompy, Winota, mm-hmm. I feel like are kind of the three like elf BD decks of the format.
I haven't seen any Winota show up, actually.
You haven't seen any Winota? There's still been a little bit of Winota showing around.
Is it still a good deck, or is it not a good deck, or what?
I mean, it still stomps on Inverter.
Yeah. How does it do against the other stuff? Like, I don't know, you play Kethis, how have you had anybody play against it? Yeah.
I tested the matchup. I think it's not bad. I think that, you know, it's a pretty reasonable matchup. It you know, maybe the... Yeah, I mean, Kethys doesn't have a lot of interaction early, so their best hands are always just going to run over Kethys.
Mm-hmm. Like, their god hands, you mean, will beat their god hands, because Kethys doesn't go off until, like, at least, what, turn four?
Turn three, okay. it can happen.
Okay.
I've certainly had it. It's not common. It's more of a turn. It's about as fast as Lotus Breach, maybe a little faster, but most of the time not. I wouldn't say it's faster than Lotus Breach. It's probably slower than Lotus Breach, but better. Fair plan, maybe? Maybe that's what I'll say. Something along those lines.
Well, I just found out Winota. It made 5-0
the last week. Honestly, though, personally, I still don't know why everyone's playing Eldritch Evolution. The card's bad.
In which deck? It's always
been bad in Winota.
What would you be playing instead?
Embercleave.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah, so, I mean, Embercleave, anytime you've got, you know, you've got eight goblins swinging in for huge damage.
So, there was one more thing I wanted to talk about today, and, you know, you don't have to talk about it if you don't want to, but I got to thinking about, you know, like, we were talking about Pioneer being, like, a combo format, but we are missing a lot of archetypes that have shown up traditionally in other formats like Legacy or Modern. And what I would like to do for this last portion of the show is kind of talk about what decks show up or what archetypes show up in other formats but haven't shown up in Pioneer yet and why. Would you be okay talking about that?
Definitely. I'm happy to talk about anything Pioneer. Are you saying in this format or at all? Because I think, you know, we mentioned the Chonky Red.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that was an amazing mid-range deck. It was a beautiful, one-of-a-kind, perfect little gem that I wish would come back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, other formats have certainly had, you know, usually it's more like a red prison deck. But mid-range, I don't feel like truly exists. Like, the decks that are kind of calling themselves mid-range and Pioneer are not really a mid-range deck in the traditional sense.
Like, would you say that Sultai Delirium is the Jund of the format? It's not really, like, right? Because Jund is more of a control deck in Modern, right?
Pioneer is a weird format in that I feel like a lot of the traditional, like, oh, aggro beats control. Control beats combo. Combo beats mid-range. That kind of dichotomy doesn't work very well in Pioneer because the combo decks are so hard to hate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, specifically Inverter, but you can't just be like, hey, I'm playing a slow deck that has counter spells, and you're not going to beat Inverter with that. Whereas if you're playing, you know, Storm, if you're playing against that deck that's just going to be countering everything you do, that's a bad matchup.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some weird dichotomy there. Like, as far as what is the 51% deck, which is what Jund, in my mind, more traditionally is, I feel like that's Mono Black Aggro.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a deck that has a lot of, I stomp this matchup, but what it is that it's got play against almost every deck, and, you know, post-sideboarding, maybe they can be at 55% against anything in the format. And that's what Jund at its height really was the kind of deck for.
When it just had a 51% on against everything, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, it has a lot of good answers.
As far as what's the deck just, like, playing the best cards, you know, maybe Niv-Mizzet, but that the fact that it has Niv-Mizzet as a, like, such an over-the-top card advantage engine, it's almost more of a combo deck to me, like, in a small way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know what we really have. You know, we are kind of missing. You know, we don't have a Siege Rhino deck where we've lost a lot of the, you know, we don't have the Fires Super Friends decks. Yeah.
So, anyways, going back to, like, Modern and stuff like that, Modern has a burn deck. I used to play it. Why doesn't Pioneer have a burn deck?
Because we don't have a red-green mana that can cast a Tarkus Command.
Was that the main reason, though? I mean, we have
Stomping Ground. I think that's a big reason. For me, that's still a big reason.
So if you were going to build Burn, you think Burn should definitely have that in there instead of something like...
No, I mean, because we don't have green-red as a good archetype, I would say go red-white still. Probably.
Yeah.
You could maybe go red-blue. You could almost certainly go mono-red.
Yeah.
And the problem with mono-red is just going to be you don't have sideboard cards. Inverter is a dead matchup.
Yeah. True. So... it's got a splash for that second color.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another one, Scape Shift. I've always wanted Scape Shift to work, and I mean, of course, we don't have Field of the Dead. Is the main reason just because we don't have any good payoffs?
Yeah, there's not really any payoff. You know, we don't have any of the payoff. You know, there's some janky cards. I know we've talked about them.
Yeah, I've talked about them.
They're not a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Another one, the tribal humans. We have 5-color humans in Modern, but we don't really have that anymore. I mean, we had bat humans for a while in Frontier, but it hasn't shown up at all.
100% just not having interaction for combo decks. So I've played around with that deck. You know, we were talking about one volley, J-Rel, Renegade, mm-hmm. whatever the card is, J-Rel. Name's ridiculous. He makes cats. Pretty awesome card, but you can't be playing good beatdown creatures with Coco as your only card advantage engine when sure. you're against something like Inverter. It just doesn't work for you.
Maybe if we had Meddling Mage.
Yeah, maybe if we had Meddling Mage, that wouldn't be a bad option. I think that Thalia would also be a bigger mm-hmm. one, or Talia, mm-hmm. however you want to pronounce it.
Thalia, yeah. But yeah, those both show up in history.
Is it Thalia or Talia? Because I do know...
It's T-H, so it's, I would say it's
there
Thalia.
There are real world places that are spelled that way that are pronounced Talia, though. Okay.
You say tomato, so, I say tomato.
You say Merfolk?
Merfolk.
Yeah, Merfolk.
Merfolk.
You guys were making fun of me on that one time, I think.
Yeah, you're saying something else, though. You weren't saying Merfolk.
I said Merfolk.
I say Merfolk. But anyways, how about Tron? What's the Tron of Pioneer?
Oh, nope. No Tron. No Tron. Ramp. No Tron, no ramp. I mean, it's good that we don't have fast mana, like true fast mana.
Yeah.
But, well, you know, okay, so if I was to say Tron, maybe I could say... as far as it's going to win its game on a clock and you have, you know, a clock to interact with it or have very specific hate, maybe that would fit as the Lotus Breach decks because, you know, it is kind of the big mana, but mm-hmm. it's also like, hey, even if you're, you know, playing a lot of good cards, if you aren't clocking them by turn 6, turn 7, they can just naturally Tron you and have a huge amount of mana and just crush you.
Yeah. Another one that I am... and maybe this isn't so much in Modern, but like the Living Index, the Reanimator type stuff. Why don't we have that in Pioneer? Is it the graveyard hate?
Yeah, well, so, I mean, we've got plenty of graveyard-based combo decks. Like, I could say, you know, Living End is not a deck like Inverter, where it just wins a game. Inverter's more of like a Splinter Twin. But... we certainly have combo. Like, you can't say we don't have combo decks.
Mm-hmm. True. I mean, we got plenty of combo. But I mean, I guess it is more of a combo deck, but I guess maybe I just wanted more of a reanimator deck in general.
Right? Yeah.
But I guess that kind of...
you're either going to be... if you're not being unfair with it, you're going to be mid-range, and we don't have mid-range. You can't be mid-range right now.
I mean, is Dredge kind of a... kind of a
Dredge is more like Dredge is Dredge
combo or
you know
yeah
no it's a synergy aggro deck.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what else. I think those are like the big ones. I mean other stuff is like Amulet Titan, that's just a combo deck, and Ad Nauseam is yeah. Storm, right?
I mean, I feel like our control is a step behind other control, but
Boggles, we have Black White. That's kind of the same thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't really show up right now, but it's an option.
Yeah, so I think that pretty much covers what I wanted to talk about as far as, like, decks I'd really like to see that are in other formats that we don't have in Pioneer. And I think having those would possibly help to balance out the format a little bit more. So I'm hoping we get those types of cards in the future, you know, printed, you know, to assist.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think we're touching on a lot of what different topics we've talked about, like things we'd like to see, things we'd like to see happen to make the format a little better.
Yeah.
On top of that list is letting us have Paper Magic again because you know, once it's safe to wear a mask, everyone.
Real quick before we end the show today, I know we both have a casual league coming up online. What's your deck choice, if you don't mind me asking?
I think I'm priced into playing Kathisley. I gotta put my money where my mouth is. I think that there are other fun things I'd love to try in a less serious format, but I think that I gotta show people how to play Kethis.
Yeah.
Crush some people with it.
Gonna have to teach them. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, this was a good.
Yeah, I know I was a little silly this evening.
Yeah.
Do we want to preview what we're doing next week? You know, I don't know. By the time we're recording it, we'll have this out by then.
Yeah.
We're probably gonna do budget next week. It's been a while since we've gone and done a nice budget decks episode, and I always have a lot of fun with these. I think we might go back to what we've done before and do like a Priceline episode.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna pick a couple decks. We're going to say, hey, make a $40 version of this deck. So super, super budget. And then go, okay, make like an 100. Maybe, you want to say 100, 120? I feel like
price has gone up.
Because, I feel like it's gotten more expensive recently.
I think we'll probably have to stick to monocolored and maybe like basic two-colored decks. Like, decks
this? It depends. You know, the last time we did this, I actually went to a second color because it was cheaper, because it meant you weren't running Mutavaults.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, so those are always fun. But if you guys have ideas for decks you'd like us to see work on a budget version of, or if you guys are a content creator or know a content creator that would like to talk about budget decks or Pioneer, tweet out to us. We'd love to hear from you guys. I am at MTG Pioneer. You can get Ryan there too, but he has his own Twitter you'll mention in a second. You can also find our Discord, our Reddit. We are the First Pioneers Discord. We've got lots of ways to contact us. You know, I've heard a couple people giving some happy messages when I'm like, please just tell us anything about how we're doing.
Yeah.
Got some good response. Appreciate that, guys. You're the best. That's all from me. I'll just give the outro. Once you are done giving them your information, go.
Yes. Okay. So if you guys want to contact me, find us on Discord, drop us a line, give us some ideas. You know, I'll post something afterwards hopefully, you know, you can give us some ideas for the budget decks for next week. But other than that, you guys can find me on Twitter at YoSchwenky, which is YoSchwenky. And my website, www.thejapanhobbyist.com. I've been starting to talk a little bit more about Historic, but that will soon become Pioneer as we get closer to that on Arena. Anyways, I'm done.
All right. Okay, sounds good. So thanks, guys, for listening. Hope that this was a good update for anyone who's been wondering what's been going on in the meta, anyone who's stuck at home, not playing Magic because they have only got it in paper. This is just your quick bulletin on M21 post Oath of Nyssa Unbanned. We are the First Pioneers Podcast, and we keep your listeners up to date with what is new, bang, interesting, bang, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. And that's all for today. So signing off.